Just got back from Afghanistan. Let's talk about that for a minute.
Okay.
Tell me what the purpose of it was and what you found out.
Well, you know, we had a train wreck in Iraq because the president decided to pull out too early. And so several of us from the House Armed Services Committee and from the Budget Committee went over to visit with our ground commanders and also with Afghanistan leaders so that we could find out what the real options are, or actually what's happening on the ground today and what the future looks like under different scenarios. And so we visited not only with our ground troops, we visited with the new president of Afghanistan. His name's Ghani.
Mm-hmm.
And also he appointed a person to share power with him, a CEO. It's kind of an odd position for a government, but I think it's going to work out well in terms of the way they're going to share power. His name was Abdullah Abdullah, and we met with all of these folks and also met with military commanders from the Afghan side to see, what's the future look like, B, what do the Afghan National Security Forces need in order to move forward to continue taking more and more of their security. And we were pretty impressed. Again, this president could mess it up if he does the same things that he did in Iraq by pulling out too early. But I think we're going to leave a stable, democratic Afghanistan. They just had a peaceful transition in power because of a recent election. I think they can continue to do it in the future. So I feel pretty good about it.
Well, and while we talk about that, Reuters has reported, actually it's been about 12 hours ago now, but now it appears that the United States is going to increase the number of troops that they're going to keep in Afghanistan because there's a gap, because the UN folks are not going to contribute as much. So what's your thoughts about actually increasing the number of troops in Afghanistan?
Well, I think that will be fine, and actually it's important to say that our troops are not involved in actual combat activities. We do have that said, there's a little caveat to that. We occasionally have special operators, special operations forces that are sometimes embedded on certain operations. But for the most part, the Afghan National Security Forces, they plan their own operations, they use their own intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance, and they execute the activities. Now, we are there. It helps them to know that we're there as a backstop because we could share our ISR information with them to make sure that both defense forces see the world through the same set of lenses. And then occasionally we're there to provide backup air power if they get in a jam. But over this year, 2014, the Afghan National Security Forces executed all of their own operations from their own intelligence, and they did it with limited air power. I think we provided air power at only about 7% of their operations. So they're doing a great job. They're different than the Iraqis. The Iraqis, when they get into a jam, when things go kinetic, they have a tendency to cut and run. But the Afghans they're a warrior class. You know, they've been invaded for
new.
They stand and fight. And so despite the news you hear in the New York Times, which is unfortunate how that's manipulated, the Afghan National Security Forces are beating the Taliban's butt. And I have to say, I'm very proud of what they've done. I'm proud of the way our military men and women have trained them and have helped them set in place the systems that they need to move forward. Now, is it perfect? No. They still struggle in some areas. But I just do think they're going to get their arms around it.
Bill
and
Flores.
I think that as long as we don't pull out too soon, if we leave about 5,000 people there for 3 years, mostly out of harm's way, I think we're going to do fine.
Bill Flores joining us this morning. Chuck Hagel's offered up his resignation as defense secretary. Your thoughts there?
Well, I'm glad to see Hagel go. I didn't think he was the right guy to start with. I was impressed with his ability to lead our defense operations. But candidly speaking, he was just executing the failed policies that the president asked him to execute. And he wasn't a strong enough leader like a Secretary Gates to stand up and say, "No, Mr. President, you're going the wrong direction." So I do fear that the president will appoint another weak SecDef when he needs to appoint somebody like a Bob Gates to take care of this. So anyway, it's not surprising, I hope the American people and the American military have a better outcome out of it than they did with Secretary Hagel.
Sure. You're back in the district now, and you have a little bit of time off now. What can be accomplished between getting back in session and the end of the year?
We have 2 weeks left in session, in this lame duck session, and the things I hope we get done are to fund the government in some way past December the 11th. We also need to deal with some tax extenders that expired December of 2013. We need to deal, if we can, with the president's amnesty executive order that he announced last week. The president still plans to shut down Guantanamo unlawfully. If he does that, we'll need to deal with that. And also, you know, I went to other countries while we were over there in the Middle East, and this is Islamic State threat is real, and they are a bad bunch of folks to be dealing with. And so I think we need to come up with a more comprehensive solution to deal with them, other than just using our air power.
Okay, let's go back then to funding the government. I know there are people who want a short-term fix and they want a long-term funding so that it's done, it's out of the way, it's off the table. What's your feeling as a member of Congress?
Well, I think in a perfect world we'd have a little bit of a hybrid where we would use an omnibus spending bill to fund big chunks of the government that are non-controversial through September the 30th. And what the reason for doing that is it makes the appropriations process in the next Congress easier and more timely, particularly given the fact that we as conservatives are going to have control of both houses. And then I would use a short-term, leave some parts of the government funded on a short-term basis so that you can constantly keep pressure on the president and his policy decisions to ultimately do the right thing. For instance, you know, theoretically we might be able to put enough pressure on him that he would rescind his amnesty order that he issued last week. I don't know what the likelihood of success for that would be, but I think we need to keep all the tools in the toolbox that we can so that we can deal with a lawless administration. Today, he's going to issue over 3,400 new regulations, including one for ozone, which will be the most expensive regulation in the history of this country, costing the economy trillions of dollars. We in Congress have a say in what happens on that, and I think we need to use funding as one of the tool sets to deal with that.
I saw the headline. This has to do with smog. Is that correct? In cities?
Ozone.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
And okay. How do we come up with the number? I mean, you threw out a big number there that's going to cost trillions. How do we calculate that's the number?
Well, you certainly can't rely on the EPA's numbers. What we do is we turn to independent analysts who provide the economic impact, A, the cost, and B, the benefit, and C, the economic impact of these regulations. This is going to be the most expensive one in history, and it's going to leave the American economy a big headache.
You mentioned, of course, the immigration solution that the president has come up with. Really, what are the options that you think Congress can do you not fund things? What do you do? What kind of action can you actually take against that?
Well, I don't have an exhaustive set right at this point, but let me tell you some of the things that we have on our toolbox. One is we can sue the president. Number two is states can sue the president. And fortunately, Governor-elect Abbott has said that he would sue the president. He is likely to have more standing than Congress does in terms of dealing with that. We can defund all or parts of the government that deal with the implementation of this policy, or we can defund other parts of the government just to make life uncomfortable for the president. For instance, let's say, and I'm not saying you would do this, but let's say you defund Air Force One. And so he can't fly Air Force One.
We should have done that a long time ago.
Well, I'm with you on that. Let's say we defund his golf games. You know, so now the thing you've got to be careful of is you don't want the Republicans to look petty, but at the same time you want to keep the pressure on the president. And also we can't forget the fact that we're going to have control of the Senate next year, or for the next 2 years, and we ought to make sure that we just stop his ability to make presidential appointments. So that, you know, eventually, you know, he might see the light at the end of the tunnel. I doubt it, but he might. And say, okay, I've got to ultimately work with Congress, or my life as an executive branch is becoming very uncomfortable. And then if you'd sit down and talk with us about these things, we might make some headway.
Well, his polls came out yesterday. Quinnipiac came out, I think he had a 39% approval rating. So it sounds like you may have a wide area that you can move in when it comes to that.
Well, think about this. Someday he's going to look in the mirror and say, hey, my legacy that I have out there is a pile of poo, and I really would like to have a better legacy than what he's got thus far. And in order for him to have a legacy of something good in this country, he's going to have to sit down and work with Congress on it. Now, you know, we saw Bill Clinton do that. This president is unlikely to ever come to that recognition that he has a terrible legacy. If he does, then, you know, he might be able to come and talk to Congress, and we might find a way to deal with things like tax reform that would make lives better for Americans.
Bill Flores joins us most every Wednesday. You can hear the entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. Thank you for the time this morning.
Great talk to you. I'd wish all of our listeners a happy Thanksgiving, and to remember what we're thankful for. We're thankful for a country that's free and that we have our liberties, and that those liberties are protected by the men and women of our United States military, like the ones I saw in Afghanistan this weekend.
Certainly, and the same to your family as well.